about the piercing of a pit, the Histalkos of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, many of the biggest tzaddikim in that generation. Interestingly, that just this past Shabbos, we made a siyum on Masechta Sota. One of the last items that the Gemara mentioned was Mishameis Rabbi Eliezer, that when Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol passed away, the Gemara mentioned certain greatness and Torah that left with him because he was considered so outstanding, even among the Tanoim, even among the rabbis of the Gemara. So now Rabbi Nezal says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kishecholo Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, when Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol got sick, Omar al-Rabbi Akiva, he said to his students, and specifically to Rabbi Akiva, Chema azo bo'olam. I see that there's a powerful anger of Hashem upon the world. And he was referring to himself, he was referring to the suffering that he was going through at the time, that the fact that he was so sick, and he was saying that the fact that Hashem made him so sick, and he knew his stature, he knew his status by Hashem, he said that this showed that there must be a tremendous din, a tremendous harshness coming down on the world. And naturally, we know that by the Jews, there's a pasuk I saw recently, a drush that the Meforshim bring, we say at right before Musaf on Shabbos, we talk a lot about the passing away of tzaddikim. We say Av Harachamim, Shechim Roimim, that whole tefillah is about those who died al Kiddush Hashem. And in there we say it towards the end, Yodin Bagoyim, Mole Gevias, Mochatz Roish, Al Eretz Rabo. So the Meforshim explain, Yodin Bagoyim, when Hashem wants to make a judgment against the Goyim, when there's a din, a harshness of Hashem that's supposed to reflect itself on the Goyim, Mole Gevias, it manifests itself in a multitude of corpses. Gevias means bodies. So it manifests itself in many, many people getting hurt, which refers to Eretz Yisrael, which refers to the Mokim of Kedusha, the Jewish nation. There it's Mochatz Reish. On behalf of the Jewish nation are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. So when we see a tzaddik suffering, usually it's not because of any sin that he committed, chas v'shalom. And yet we know the Gemara says, Ein Yisurim b'layavoin, that generally, whenever we see a Jew suffering, it's usually because of a sin. So the question is, if he hasn't committed any sin, why is he suffering? The answer is, v'hu mechayla el mibshayno, that when tzaddikim suffer, they're suffering because of our sins, because of the sins of Bnei Yisrael. So Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, Chemo azo b'olam, I see a very powerful rage of Hashem upon the world. Rabbi Nezal explains now. There was no one available at the time to sweeten this harshness of Hashem. Because what was necessary to sweeten the harshness of Hashem was a pidyon. A pidyon means where a person gives a unit of money for tzedakah to a big tzaddik, and this tzaddik knows through certain secret names of Hashem and certain other hidden items, he knows how to use this money to affect hamtoka sadin, to sweeten any judgment that would come against that person, chas v'shalom. The tzaddik knows by accepting the money in a certain way and doing certain things with the money, the tzaddik is able to sweeten the din against the person and to be paida that person, to redeem that person with this money from any harshness that was supposed to come upon him. It was necessary at the time for there to be a pidyon to sweeten the din, and it wasn't available. The pidyon was not available. Now Rabbi Nezal is going to explain a little bit about the concept of doctors, when their services are needed. When Rabbi Nezal says, in truth, once there has been a sweetening of the judgment against the person, then Rabbi Nezal says, Ki be'emes achar ha'amtoka v'apidyon, once the sweetening of the din has occurred, oz daiko toiv cure the sick person using physical medication. Ki oz daiko achar ha'pidyon v'ha'amtos l'roife l'rapois. At that point in time, a doctor is granted permission by Hashem to be able to cure, as we're going to see soon. Kihine be'emes eich yochol haroife lachgur mosnov l'rapois hachoyle aydei rufois v'samim. Rabbi Nezal asks, let's talk honestly. How is it conceivable for a doctor to attempt to cure a sick person using medication? The doctor has no idea as to what specific medication is going to be applied to this sickness to be able to cure it. Why? We're going to explain. We know that there are many different types of medication that are useful in curing illnesses. But we know, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, a fact that a person, when he gets sick, can only be cured through a specific medicine which has already been named in heaven. In heaven they have declared that this sick person is going to get cured by this specific medication. K'moy sham razal, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah daf nun hey, the Gemara says, she'goizrin lamalo, they declare in heaven, she'yisrape al yidei sam pleini, that this sick person is going to be cured by this specific medication, v'al yedei ish pliny, and through this specific person, b'yom pliny, on this specific day. These items are declared in heaven. If that's the case, v'im kein eich yochol haroifei lahachnis atzmoy l'rafois, where does the concept of doctors come into the picture? How does a person establish himself as a doctor? If we know, in other words, doctor means he's practicing. He has people coming to him on a daily basis. How can he do that when it hasn't been declared yet? There's a declaration in heaven as to why he's getting sick and as to exactly what day his illness is going to be cured, who's going to do the curing, and using what medication. If that's the case, how does a doctor undertake the responsibility on his own to analyze the situation physically with physical eyes and make a determination via physical means as to which medication to apply to this illness if we know that it has nothing to do with physical? In heaven, they've declared which medication should heal him. And if you use 8,000 other medications, no matter how powerful they are or what or when, if you don't happen to hit out to the one that they listed in heaven, how is it conceivable for a doctor to apply himself to curing a person? The doctor does not know which medication has been decreed in heaven should cure this person. Rabbi Nazal says, but after the sweetening of the din has occurred, after the tzedakah has been given to the tzaddik as a pidyoin, oz yochel rafois, then the doctor can cure through physical means. Why? Rabbi Nazal explains. Kima shetzorich sheyisrape daiko al yidei sam pliny veish pliny. This, that the Gemara tells us, that when a person gets sick, he falls into a condition whereby his cure can only be brought about via this individual using this specific type of medication, hu machmas midas hadin. That's a manifestation of the din of Hashem, of the judgment of Hashem. We know that generally, whenever we talk about kindness of Hashem and the harshness of Hashem, the kindness of Hashem is always referred to as a concept of open, wide open, poteach et yadecha, poseach es yadecha, masbi alachol chayrotzin, open up your hands and give us shefa. Whenever we talk about harshness, harshness is always din, tzimtzum, constriction, tight. Constriction means that I'm restricted to this specific individual person to cure me. I'm restricted to this specific medication to cure me. That's a manifestation of the din of Hashem, the judgment of Hashem. That's what forces these limitations. The fact that a person's restricted, he can only get his cure at this and this address, at this and this specific time, using this and this specific medication. Kefi midas hadin, shekefi midas hadin nigzar, based on the harsh judgment of Hashem, it has been decreed, sheyum shach hacholas ad oisaizman v'yayim pliny, that the illness should extend up until this and this time, this and this day, v'yalkei nigzar shalayuchal hisrapois kim alidei siboy selu, and therefore it has been declared in heaven that this person will only be able to be cured via this and this means. Dahainu sam pliny, this specific medication, v'ish pliny, and this specific doctor. Why?
Kidei sheyum shach hachoylas ad yoim ploini. This has been declared in heaven because Hashem wants this illness to extend for the following period of time, so Hashem works it out that the medication for it can only be gotten by this and this date, and this doctor can only be applied to the illness at this and this day. So the timing works out exactly the way Hashem wants it to be. Ki kefi hazman shetzorech sheyum shach hachoylas, it's according to the timing that Hashem has applied to this illness. Hashem has declared exactly when He wants this illness to terminate. Based on that, kach goizrin hasibos lerefuasoi. That's what determines what exactly the declaration that comes from Hashem as to what and who is going to cure this person. Why? So that the person should not be able to get cured until all of these circumstances come together at the exact moment that Hashem wants them to come together. Meaning, sam ploini, this and this specific medication, ve'ish ploini, and this and this specific doctor, shalayi aloi refua kiyim biyoyim ploini. All the purpose for it is so that the person should not get his cure until the specific date that Hashem has issued in his gzeira, that on that day Hashem wants the person to get cured. So that's the reason why Hashem allocates a specific individual to do the curing and a specific medication. It's all for the sake of timing. Kaviyochel Hashem in heaven, this is the system Rabbi Nizal is giving us, the study, a scheduling study of how things occur in heaven. That the reason why the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that when a person gets sick, there is this declaration as to exactly who's going to cure him and exactly which medication. The reason for that is so that the timing should work out exactly the way Hashem wants it to work out. Avol kishe'oisin pidyoin, but when a person is zeichet to take an alternate route, whereby he gives this tzedakah to a tzaddik, he makes a pidyoin, umamtikin adin, and thereby he sweetens the din. V'azayin is batel hagzeira. Then the judgment of Hashem against this person, this declaration becomes nullified. Azai, then, Rabbi Nizal says, koidem shegoizrin din acher, right before heaven gets a chance to issue a second decree against this person, Rabbi Nizal explains now, because the nature in heaven is that when there is a harsh decree against the person, as soon as that harsh decree is removed, there's another harsh decree issued right away for that person, most cases. Rabbi Nizal says now, right in between the removal of the first harsh gezeira and the issuance of the second one, at that point in time, the hainu achar hamtakas din horishoin, after sweetening the first judgment, kaidem shegoizrin din achar, before heaven gets a chance to issue the second declaration, azai yochoil haroife l'rapois hachoila al yidei samin. It's at that point in time that any doctor using decent medication will be able to cure this person. When the gzeira has been removed and before the second gzeira has been issued. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki azai ein din, because at that point in time, there is no longer any judgment present against that person. The question is, if that's the case, why is he still sick? The answer is because once the illness set in, and it took the form of a physical illness, there are physical things that are needed to take it away, to remove it. But up until the point that the din was sweetened, the midas hadin, the judgment of Hashem dictates constriction, that you become restricted to a specific time frame, and therefore, automatically, you become restricted to a specific doctor, to a specific form of medicine. As soon as the din is removed, those restrictions fall away. You're no longer restricted to one doctor and to one form of medication. And right before they go ahead and issue the second din, at that point in time, if a person goes to a doctor and the doctor prescribes a decent type of medication, it'll normally be able to work and be able to cure the person. Rabbi Nizal says now, because at that point in time, the person does not need a specific medication. Because there is no longer any harshness against him. nimtza. So what do we see from here? She'i efshir l'roifei l'rapois ki im al yedei pidyoin. Rabbein Azal has established a fact that it's impossible for a doctor to undertake the responsibility of curing a person, of healing a person, until the person has first submitted a pidyon, has first effected the sweetening of the din against himself. Shetzrichen lasis pidyon tchilo lamtik adin. First, the person has to do a pidyon. He has to give tztoko with certain other items that Rabbein Azal says work as good as a pidyon. For example, chatzos. Getting up for chatzos, where a person breaks the night. Night is a form of din, harshness, blackness. That's another form of harshness of Hashem. When a person breaks the night in half, how? By waking up in the middle of the night. That's a concept of breaking the night. That's how he breaks the din of Hashem. He breaks the judgment. That's also, Rabbein Azal brings, it works like a pidyon. So if a person, once a person has performed the pidyon, then va'oz daiko yesh reshus l'roifei l'rapois. Then a doctor has permission to put on his cute little costume and to do his thing, to do the medication using normal physical means. In other words, at that point in time, the doctor doesn't need a telephone to heaven telling him which medication this sick person is restricted to, because once the din has been removed, the person is no longer anywhere near as confined to a specific medication as he was before the din was removed. Period. Now Rabbein Azal says, this is the secret why the words in the Torah from which the Gemara learns that a doctor is permitted to cure a person. The Gemara says, where do we learn this out from? There's a pasuk in the Chumash that says, "Verapoi yirape," and the healer will heal. So the Gemara says, "Mikan." From here we learn out, "Shemitein reshus l'roifei l'rapois," that Hashem has granted permission to human beings who are educated in medicine to cure people. Rabbein Azal says now, v'zeh v'rapo yirape mispar pidyon nefesh. Now we see why the two words, v'rapo yirape, with the two words, are bigematria, exactly the words pidyon nefesh, which means redeeming one's soul. Why? Ki ikar harufuah al yedei pidyon daika. The main curing of a sick person is brought about through the pidyon that he submits. That's what really affects the cure. Al yidei shemam tikin adin, through the fact that the person sweetens the harshness against himself. V'ze shom razal, Rabbein Azal now explains the particular wording of the Gemara in Brochus where the Gemara mentions this. This is why the Gemara says, mikan shenitno toiro rishus l'roifei l'rapois. The word mikan in Aramaic can take on two connotations. The word mikan means from here, or even in English, the words from here could imply from here. From this sentence in the Chumash, we learn out this revelation, this fact that a doctor is granted permission to cure. The words from here also mean from this point in time. The word here many times is used to connotate place, location. Many times it's also used to refer to time. From here on in, you won't do this. So Rabbein Azal dashens the word mikan, from here, at this point in time, mikan daiko, hainu achar hapidyon, once the pidyon has been submitted, oz daiko yeshloi reshus laharoifei l'rapois. It's at that point in time that the doctor is granted permission to be able to cure the person. Why? Ki kaidem apidyoin, before the pidyoin has been done, has been affected, before the tzedakah has been given, or the tikkun chatzos, or certain other things that Rabbein Azal says work like a pidyoin, ein rishus l'haroifei l'rapois. At that point in time, a doctor does not have permission to attempt to cure this person. Why? Ki tzorech l'hisrapois ha'idei sam pleini kanal. Because the Gemara has taught us that this person can only get cured via the one medication that they've declared in heaven. If this doctor has a telephone to heaven, he's in a position to cure. Otherwise, he's wasting his own time, he's wasting the patient's time and money. It's silly, it's a farce, it's a joke. So it's only once the person has submitted a pidyon, at that point in time, the doctor has permission to analyze with physical eyes, with flesh and blood eyes, to analyze the illness and to attempt to cure it based on what he's learned in his schools. It's only after the pidyon has been done and the sweetening of the din has occurred, at that point in time the doctor is in a position to attempt to cure the person. Let's just finish. If anybody has any questions, we have a short paragraph and we'll take questions. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go a little bit deeper to explain this a little bit according to Kabbalah. Now we know that Tikkuni Zohar has a whole section just about teaching us the secrets of the vowels that are used in the Torah. In other words, the Gemara, the knowledge, the information that we have in the Gemara is mostly based on words. The actual words in the Torah, or at best, an extra letter. Sometimes if there's an extra vav somewhere, or this or that, the Gemara will learn out a drush from that. The Gemara will teach us a halacha, something like that, from there. In the Sifrei Kabbalah, we find the wisdom of Torah taken a level deeper, where we even study the vowels under the letters. We begin to understand the tremendous depth and significance even in those items. For example, the nekudos that are found under the letters of Hashem's name, the Tikkun Ezer explains, for example, within Hashem's name, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, we know there are four different combinations which correspond to different spheres. The combinations of Ov, Sog, Mo, and Bon correspond to Chochma, Bina, Ze'er, and Malchus. So the Tziruf of Shem Bon, the combination of letters of Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, where it adds up to 52, corresponds to Malchus. The Tikkun Ezer says we see this hinted to in the fact that when we take the name of Hashem that refers specifically to Malchus, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, if you look at the Nekudais of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, the Nekudais of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud are Begimatria Bon, 52, showing the association between these two names of Hashem. How do we calculate the value of Nekudais? The Tikkun Ezer tells us that wherever we have a dot is like the letter Yud. A Yud is simply round. It has nothing else. It's totally black, no light of its own. So the dot takes on a value of 10. A line takes on, a line is like a Vav. It's like the letter Vav. It takes on the value of 6. A komatz is a line and a dot, the way it's drawn in the children's books. You know what it looks like. So this is how we figure out the values, the gematrios of the vowels. So for example, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, under the Aleph you'll note there's a chataf patach, which means two dots and a line, which is 26. Do, a, do, there's a dot over there, gives us 36. Noi, there's a komatz under the Nun, 36 plus 16, 10 and 6, gives us 52 exactly. And there are many, many deep secrets of Kabbalah that are taught in the Tikkun Ezer by understanding the Nekudos. Now, this is even extended the Vilna Goyen, who was a contemporary among the Misnagdim. The Vilna Goyen darshaned many drushim from the tamim, the trup, the musical vowels that are used on words. In a place where it says a kadmo v'asla, he was able to darshan how kadmo v'asla affects the meaning of the words there. Dargo Tavir, we once gave an example, the secret. It's how the rabbis learned out. The Gemara tells a story in one place where a rabbi fell down the stairs. He tripped on a stair. A stair broke onto him and he fell. So he asked a friend of his, he said, I can't imagine what I could have done that I was punished in this way that I tripped. So the other rabbi told him, probably somebody came to you to collect tzedakah and you didn't give him quickly enough, or somehow you didn't do it properly, that's why you were punished with this. The Vilna Goyen asks, how did this rabbi know to pick that mitzvah? The Vilna Goyen says, if you take a look at the mitzvah of tzedakah in the Chumash, the most outstanding place where the Torah discusses tzedakah, it says, Posoyach tiftach es yodecho bo'chicho aniecho. Open up your hand to a poor man. The trup under the words Posoyach tiftach, I believe it's under those words, is Dargo Tevir. The word Dargo in Aramaic means a step. Tevir means broken. The Vilna Goyen Zal said that this was the secret, the hidden secret that this rabbi of the Gemara, the rabbis of the Gemara, were not just learned in the letters of the Torah. They knew all the musical notes and all the vowels and everything, and they knew all the secrets behind them. So he understood the secret information that's found even in that. So now Rabbeinu Zal is going to give us a little bit of a shiur from the Tikkun Ezer to understand the vowels that are used in these words, Virapoi, Yirapei. There's a chaylam, the most powerful vowel in the first word is a chaylam, v'rapo yirape. Rabbi Nizal is going to explain what chaylam represents according to Kabbalah, what seirik represents, and we're going to see how that ties into this term in the Kutimran. Rabbi Nizal says, gam hachilik shebein hanakudos shel v'rapo yirape, the difference between the vowels that are found in the word virapoi, yirapei, you'll note the vav has a shvo, the yud has a shvo. The resh has a pasach, the resh has a pasach. The pei has a chaylam, the pei has a tseri. Hu ki virapoi b'chaylam, yirapei b'tseri. That's the difference in the vowels of these two words. Rabbi Nizal is going to explain why. Hainu, ki chaylam hu bechinas hamtoko. We know that the vowel chaylam, the O sound, is a concept of sweetening of din. The Arizal tells us, based on the Zohar Kodesh, that we know, we mentioned many, many times, that tzimtzum, constriction, is always a concept of din. What's one of the most obvious places of the body where we have a constriction? The throat. The throat. The throat, which attaches the head to the rest of the body, the head is wide, the chest is wide, you have this constriction where the mouth, the nose, the head, everything funnels into a very, very tight area by the throat. That's called the goroin. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal tell us that the word goroin is bigimatria three times Elohim. Three times Elohim. Elohim is 86. Three times 86 with the Kailel is bigimatria goroin, showing that the goroin represents three units of din, three units of harshness. Why three? It's a separate topic, not for now. But regardless, goroin represents three times Elohim, which is a concept of din. The Arizal says that corresponding to the three times Elohim, in order to sweeten that, we have to have three times the name of Hashem that represents kindness, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Chesed. Three times Chesed is Begimatria, the vowel Chaylam. Chaylam is spelled Ches Lamed Mem. The word Chaylam is Begimatria three times Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. Three times 26 is 78. So Chaylam represents sweetening, the sweetening, the three times Yud Kei Vav Kei, which sweeten the three Elikims of the Goroi. We're going to see how this fits in now. Rabbi Nizal says, "Hainu ki chaylam hu bechinas hamtoka." The vowel chaylam represents sweetening. Kemuva bekisveo Arizal, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. She chaylam gematria gimel havayos. Note the word chaylam here is spelled with a vav, but the gematria is ches lamed mem. The word chaylam ches lamed mem is begematria three times yud kei vav kei. Sheheim mamtikin gimel elikim shebegoroin. They sweeten these three times Yud Kei Vav Kei, sweeten the three times Elohim of the throat. Sheheim Moichin Dekatnus Sheyordin Begoroin. The Arizal says that there is a concept when a person falls into a depressed state of mind, where a person falls into a very low frame of mind, his Moichin, his brains, the Gimel Moichin, there are three parts to the brain, they go into a state of din, constriction, Elohim. And the brain falls. Where does it fall? It falls to the throat, in a sense. Where do we see that there could be any association between the throat and the brain when it's in a low frame of mind? Because the low frame of mind is Elohim, din. Three times Elohim, corresponding to the three parts of the brain, is Begimatria Goroin, the throat. So that when a person falls into a low frame of mind, and his brain has a yerida, conceptually, his brain falls to this level of goroin, where these three times Elohim take over. And how does it become sweetened? The Arizal says, v'nim tokim al yidei gimel havayos. And it gets sweetened through three times yud kei vav kei, which is gematria chaylam, the word chaylam. The Arizal explains this is the whole secret behind why the most important food that a Jew eats is lechem, lechem, bread. Lechem is the word chaylam. The Arizal says, just as the Gemara says, that what's the food for the brain? What gives the brain the power to think? Lechem, lechem, chito, chito or lechem. Both things are listed. Lechem, because lechem is bigimatria three times yud kei vav kei, which affects the sweetening of the din of these three times elikim when a person is in meichen de katnus. So Rabbein Azal says now, V'oz achar ha-hamtoko yirape b'tzere. Note, v'rapoi. Once there is the sweetening of the din, which is represented by the oi, by the cholam, then yirape. What's pei? B'tzere. With a tzere. The word tzere means the two dots under the pei, under the second pei. That's the word tzere in Hebrew means medication. Medication. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Hatzori ein begilod im roife ein shom. So note, first virapoi. First you need the sweetening of the din, the chaylam. Then yirapei. Then you can have the tzere, the tzori, the medication. Then you can mix in physical medication. Oz daiko yechayon lehisrapoi saideru fois. Once the sweetening of the din has occurred, then you can effect a physical cure through physical medication. Shehu bechinas yirapei b'tzere, which is represented by the word yirapei with a nikud of tzere. Baruch Hashem. Questions.
Earlier it said that the only reason that the doctor is there is not to provide a time frame in which the actual, and it seems to be beyond the fact that there's a
mistake. But I'm not thinking that what we said now is to really say it clearly, so there shouldn't be any confusion. The reason why Hashem decrees that the person is confined to a specific doctor and to a specific medication is because Hashem times it that at the time that he'll get to this doctor and this specific medication will be the time when this gezeira completes its cycle. In other words, a decree is issued. Decree has a timer of 3 days, 18 hours, 22 minutes, 36 seconds. Now, based on that, Hashem makes that calculation, and Hashem figures out exactly how long it's going to take this person's mother-in-law's sister's father from Texas to call him up and tell him, I know just the doctor to cure you, and he knows this specific medication. And then from when you call the doctor and go to see him, he just ran out of this medication, so he has to go order it. And Hashem calculates the cycle, how long it's going to take the medication to get to the doctor's office until it's going to get to you. And at the exact point when this doctor hits you with this medication, that's going to be when the cycle of this gezeira has completed itself. That's the normal route. When a person does something to affect the pigulin, what he does is he dismantles the gzera, period. The pigulin dislodges and dismantles and nullifies the gzera. Now the gzera is gone. However, the illness has set in. And there's another gzera, there's a runner-up gzera that's on its way. If the person steps in at that moment and goes and sees a doctor, what kind of doctor? Not necessarily the one who was announced in heaven before, because we've done away with that gzera. Now if he goes and sees any doctor who knows medication decently, then any doctor with any medication can affect the cure, can hope to affect the cure.
Now, the problem I'm confused about is the fact that the person, first of all, why is permission given to a doctor to heal it? It's only a time segment. Why don't they tell him to go to Australia or do something else? Why bring doctors into it to begin with?
The answer is for that. There's other reasons. But Rabbein Azal is explaining here one understanding of why this takes place. Because the reason why these sibois are declared is so that the timing should work itself out.
Over here, Salomar mentioned why in an earlier place bread and water is mentioned, and that could be the vehicle.
The answer is it's definitely true. That's another way. Rabbein Azal is explaining, in other words, those who are zeichet to the limud of tefillah, they can be zeicha, a person who's zeicha to tefillah. Remember we explained when we learned that Torah, that a person who's zeicha to a very, very high level of tefillah could avoid having to use medication whatsoever. He can get his cure even from bread and water. But the common person who's not zeicha to that high level of tefillah, and let's say he's not zeicha to have a pidyon, just like in this case where the Gemara says, Kishachola Rabbi Yezer, there was no way of doing the pidyon, what happens then? You should know that the second best choice is, at that point in time, to go to a doctor. However, it's after you've issued a pidyon. You understand? After you've issued a pidyon, if you're not in a position to shoot out such a powerful tefillah that it can cause a situation where you can be cured even through bread and water, at that point in time, permission is granted to visit a doctor.
It's bread and water. Are you still going through a mala? Because there's no sun. When you're using sun, it's a mala.
100%.
know, with bread and water you're not. If you recall the way we explain that Torah in the Qur'an, that the one who is mamshech his cure into anything, it's because his cure is coming from the Dvar Hashem, which is above the Malachim. That's where the Malachim get there. Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, the Ruach Bid Kol Tzavon. That's where the Malachim get their power from.
So,
if
a person
issues
a pigeon, wouldn't he do another one since there's another Qur'an coming in?
Is this your own suggestion? Or I'm saying what Rabbi Nizal said, is that right after a pidyon, before another gezeirah is issued, that's a time to go see a doctor.
But
in
terms of the gezeirah, it would be also good to have specialists for them, since you, like you mentioned that another gezeirah they would come.
Right.
Take precaution against the second.
Of course, that's in any case. In other words, at any point in time, the Gemara says that if a person ever has any type of tzorah whatsoever, the first thing is tefillah. Not only that, the Gemara says, be smart, don't wait for the tzorah to come. You start praying before you get sick that you should be healthy. That's the best way. No question at all. Here, we're just discussing what Rabbi Nizam explains here.
What are the categories of
Kohanim
that are breaking this?
So
you mentioned pidyon. What else is
there
in the concept of
breaking? Anybody else remember anything offhand that Rabbi Nizal refers to as pidyon?
Just a second.
I would have to check. Those are the two items that stand out. Tzedakah and chatzas. There is in Sefer Hamidos and Nekudei Ritzos, there is a paragraph on pidyon. Check in there to see the
what do we have today to
classify
besides
stucco?
What is the form of pidyon? Besides that, it would,
let's
say, it's giving stucco. Is this stucco considered pidyon, or should you have to give it to a tzaddik and it has to be tied?
Pidyon refers to giving stucco to a tzaddik. However, the fact is, again, as we mentioned many times, that if a person doesn't have that available, in a way, every Jew is a concept of tzaddik. So in a small degree, any time a person gives tzedakah to a Jew, it's classified as a low-level pidyonim. The true pidyon, the real pidyon that we're looking for, is when a person is zeichet to give tzedakah to the tzaddik emes. That's for sure.
You have to be titled, I'm giving a pidyon, entitled, it's a specific for me.
Yes, no.
The second stage, where a person already got the din is off of him, and the second one didn't yet come to him, at that point you say that a doctor who's decently versed in medication could do it. Now at that point, when there's no din, then why do you need a doctor who's decently versed in anything? Why not, do you just slap yourself in the face?
I just said, because the physical illness has already taken form. You understand? And once the physical...
Is that also a concept of din? Even any physical illness is a concept. But if there's no more din, then why should there be any physical manifestation?
Because Hashem is telling you that this is the way it works. That even after the din has been removed, based on which the illness was issued, the din is removed up until a point where now you're given a leeway that a doctor can cure the physical. Not necessarily if the din is removed, will the illness disappear immediately. No, not true. That the way Rabbi Nizal explains the sequence of events is that even if the gezeirah is removed, it could be removed to an extent where at that point in time you have to come on to a doctor to cure.
Why can't you go right away to the Dvar Hashem at that stage again?
Is that what he says here?
Is it?
I'm asking you.
No, I don't think so.
That's why.
I don't know why. I mean, that's what he says.
It's two different topics. In one Talmud Gemara, we were referring to the aspect of tefillah and how that deals with an illness. Rabbi Nizal gave a whole shiur on that and explaining. Now he's giving a second set of etzes as to how to deal with this. One has nothing to do with the other, or one has everything to do with the other. Tefillah is an etzah that's clear of everything, no question at all. But we have to take each chapter on the Gemara and study it on its own, for the advice that's being given in that Torah specifically. Zehu, Hashem. The next Torah Likud Amaran was said by Rabbi Nizal on a Shavuos, and it's one of the very outstanding chapters in Likud Amaran because of its length, number one, and because of the extensive coverage of this Torah in Likudei Halachos. Rav Moshe Zal talks about this Torah a lot, really a lot, and we're going to see a lot of important
lot of important foundations that are brought out from this Torah. Rav Enazal bases this on the Pasuk in the Chumash where it refers to the holiday of Shavuos. The Pasuk says, Uveyayim ha-Bikurim, and it will be on the day when the Jews will bring Bikurim, Behakrivchem Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem, you'll bring a new Korban to Hashem, B'Shavuos Seichem, on the holiday of Shavuos, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, there should be a declaration of holiness, Kol Meleches Avoido Lo Yisasu, you're not permitted to do any work at all on the holiday of Shavuos. Rabbi Nizal says there's a pasuk in Navi where the pasuk says that when at a time when Eliyahu Navi was forced to hide out from King Achav because he wanted to kill him at the time, based on a prophecy that Eliyahu Navi had told him and based on certain other things that Eliyahu Navi had done at the time, Hashem told Eliyahu Navi, I want you to go hide in a cave, and Hashem said, I'll take care of your provisions. I'll see to it that you should have what to eat. And Hashem told Eliyahu Navi, V'sha'irvin tzivisi l'chalkalecha, I have commanded the ravens to provide you with food. This is what Hashem said to Eliyahu Navi. Now the question is, according to Pshat, according to simple Pshat, why did Hashem do this? Out of all the messengers to use to provide Eliyahu Navi with food, why did Hashem pick the raven? This was to show, in a sense, the greatness of the miracle. We know that the raven is known to be one of the most vicious of birds, in the sense that it has no pity or compassion even on its own young. So certainly the raven is not a bird whose nature it is to help another person, to help a human being in need. And Hashem showed that when Hashem wants to provide somebody with food, Hashem can even take the raven and use him as the one to provide nourishment for whomever Hashem wants him to provide nourishment for. This was part of the miracle that took place here. But now Rabbi Nizal is going to explain something. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ve'soervim tzivisi l'chalkaleko ze b'chinas tzedakah." This refers to the mitzvah of a Jew giving tzedakah, giving charity. In the beginning, when a person first starts donating money to tzedakah, a person has to strive and work at breaking the viciousness in himself, the harshness within himself, the viciousness, the bad nature, to change it around to kindness, to change around the viciousness within himself, to turn it, to convert it to kindness. V'zehu ikar avodas hatzedakah. And this is the main work of tzedakah. When the Torah discusses the avoda of tzedakah, that tzedakah is a dramatic mitzvah, it's a very, very effective mitzvah. You want to know when it's really effective? When a person is zeicha to break the achzorius within himself and convert it to rachmonis, to break the harshness and viciousness within himself that would prevent him from giving money to a poor person, and he changes that around, he converts it to a kindness where he does give, that's the true mitzvah of tzedakah. Now the question arises here, we know the Gemara says that there are three ways to identify a Jew. The Jews are rachmonim. That's the first thing that the Gemara lists, that a Jew, by nature, is a Rachman, is a compassionate type of person, one who takes pity on another Jew. If the Gemara tells us that the nature of a Jew is to have pity on another Jew, then why does Rabbi Nizal seem to imply here that the default is achzorius, that a person starts off, every Jew starts off with a viciousness in his heart towards giving charity, and to be zeichet, to the true mitzvah of tzedakah, it's only once he's broken this viciousness, this harshness. This is a fabulous question. Rav Nachman Shigarinzal explains what Rabbi Nizal is referring to here. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos that when Hashem wants a person to give tzedakah, the Mishnah says a person should see to it, v'yihiyu aniyim b'nei beisecha, that a person should always see to it to have poor people in his home, that his family should include poor people. Family meaning the ones who sit at your table when you have a meal. He has his family sitting at the table. The Mishnah says, "V'yihiyu aniyim b'nei beisecha." You should also include among your b'nei bayis, among your family members, poor people. Always take guests into your house that are poor people. That's one interpretation that's given on this Mishnah. There's another interpretation which says, Ve'yihyu aniyim b'nei be'secho, that sometimes, in order to be able to give another person, a guest, a nice piece of meat, sometimes you have to subtract from one place to add to another place. By giving him, I'm subtracting from myself, or from my child. I have a kid sitting here who says, can I have another piece of cake? There's 6 pieces of cake. If this guest weren't here, the kid could have the second piece, or could have a first piece. Because there's a guest in the house, there's 4 adults, and there's 4 pieces of cake. Now my own son asks for a piece of cake. The answer is, I'm sorry. You are a poor person. Hashem wants me to impoverish my own family on behalf of a poor person. To replace, I would normally give to my own family, give that to a poor person instead. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says, this is what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to. When we say that a Jew is born with an achzorius, and the Gemara says that a Jew is born with a rachmonis, both are true. A Jew by nature is born with a rachmonis. Who does he have rachmonis on? Himself, number one. He's got a lot of rachmonis on his belly. He wants to have that piece of cake. He wants the delicious piece of meat, or a lot of meat, and these things. So the first one, when the Gemara says that the Jews are rachmonim, it means rachmonim on themselves and on their own families, as is the normal nature of a human being, or a yid especially. He has rachmonis on his children and his wife. But Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter refers to that rachmonis with reference to the mitzvah tzedakah. That rachmonis is going to cause an achzorius on a poor person. Because of the fact that I love myself and I have a lot of pity on myself and my wife and children, that will set up a situation where I become hesitant to take a guest into my house. Why? Because my wife says, I don't get to spend any time with you. I want to have some time with you alone. I don't want somebody else sitting at the table. Or I worked so hard to prepare this delicious dish, why should I share it with some goofball whom I hardly know, some stranger? I'd rather have it for me and you and give some to my mommy or to my daughter or to this one or to that one. So a person, that's the rachmonis that we're talking about, that Rabbeinu Zal says here, that type of rachmonis towards a guest is achzorius. So when Rabbeinu Zal says a person has to break the achzorius, he's referring to this achzorius, which the Welt calls a rachmonis. A person has rachmonis on his own family, he wants to spend time with his family, this, that. If he invites a guest into the house, he's got to talk to the guest, he's got to be civilized, spend time with him. Whatever time he's spending, the guest also has to be civilized. We're talking about Jack. We're not leaving you out, don't worry. A person invites a guest into his house, so he has to carry on, he has to spend time and food and this, that, and whatever he's giving to him, in other words, he's not creating. Whatever you give here, you subtract from there. This is what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to as the achzorius, that what a person has to do in breaking the achzorius, the normal nature would be a reluctance to show this kindness on a stranger, on the one outside of my family. The true mitzvah of tzedakah is to be zeichet to that rachmonis, the rachmonis which involves an achzorius on myself and those who are closest to me. This is what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to, as Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal explains it. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kimi shehu rachmon betivoy," because a person who is kind by nature, v'noisein tzedakah machmas rachmonis shebetivoy, and he gives a lot of charity because he happens to have that kind of nature. He has a nature where he enjoys giving. Ein ze avoda. We don't classify that as a job, as a task. We don't classify that as the avoida of tzedakah, because for him that comes natural. What comes natural is not classified as work. Work, generally, we talk about picking up a heavy bag, heavy cartons, that's work. Why? Because that's against the norm. The norm is to relax. You have to go against inertia, against the default, against the teva, to pick up the heavy packages, or to travel to work, to go through all the difficulty, to be able to earn a livelihood. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ki yesh gam kamo chayos shehim rachmonim betivon." The Gemara tells us that there are many animals who, by nature, are very kind. For example, the Gemara lists chasido, a dove. The Gemara says a dove is gifted with a nature where not only does it help its own young, but a dove is always concerned about those around it. It always sees to it that other animals should also have what to eat. So we see that that capacity exists even by an animal. Rak ikur ho avoido leshaber ho achzorius. The main avoido of tzedakah is when it involves breaking a viciousness, lahavchoy l'rachmonis, to change it, to convert it to kindness. Meaning, for example, as Rabbi Zal explained, when a person's nature is, he's a giving person. But every person has their limit. My limit is if a person comes into shul, a regular person, and he asks for a donation, let's say the maximum that I would picture in my mind giving him is $5. If he's not close to me, I'm a stranger, he's poor, he tells me he's got 44 children, and his wife has four legs to support, and all those kind of things, I know the picture that I conjure up in my mind is a certain limitation. Once you've given that limit, and the person persists, he asks again, where he's asking you to go over the limit that you set in your mind, where at this point, in other words, this is where my kindness terminates. And once we cross that line, he's got to get ready to get bitten. Once he asks for the $5 and 1 cent, now I'm ready to take a bite out of him. It's when I give that penny, that additional penny or that additional dollar, it's on that dollar that's classified as the Avoda Satzdoko. That dollar, I'm breaking the Azorius. The first five came natural. That was my norm. Whatever was established as being my norm. It's the part that involves a conversion of Achzorius to Rachmanis, that's what Rabbi Nizal classifies as the Avoidas Hatzdoko, the Avoid of Tzedoko. This is the message that Hashem was giving to Elianovi when he told him that I've ordered the ravens to support you. Nature is very vicious, very merciless, zero mercy, not even on his own young. And this raven's nature was totally flipped over, converted to kindness in order to provide for Elio Anovi. So too, every Jew, in performing his mitzvah of giving tzedakah, has to do it in this manner also. He has to give to the extent where he's breaking an achzorius. The chol hanadive leiv, and all those who are generous donors, who are philanthropists, kol mi shehu natvon, anybody who's a good donor, tzorich leilech v'lavor b'tchilo derech b'chinas zu, has to first pass through this phase in his charitableness, meaning Bechinas veshoirvim anal, this category which we refer to as veshoirvim, dahainu, shebetchilot tzrichen leshaber ha'achzorius shelohem. First, the person has to break the mercilessness in himself. Mashiyesh lehem ha'achzorius betchilot. This, that his norm is, at a certain point, to become vicious, to become not give, to not to want to give. Lahafchoy l'rachmonis, to convert that into kindness. Lehisnadev letzedakah, and to donate generously to tzedakah. So Rabbi Nizal now is explaining something that applies to any person who wants to enter into this avodas hatzedakah. Rabbi Nizal says you should know this. There's one thing that's not really, really classified as the true meaning of tzedakah. There's one thing that is. That which comes supernatural and super easy for a person to give, that's not really classified as the avodah of tzedakah. It's tzedakah, no question. But it's not the avodas hatzedakah. The avodas hatzedakah is at the point that that person knows that that's his breaking point, where at that point it starts hurting him, it starts bothering him, and his normal nature at that point in time would be to complain or to insult the poor man, or this or that. At that point in time when he gives, that's when he has entered into the Avodas HaTzedakah, and that's when he's opened up a new world for himself. He's made a beginning in the world of tzedakah, as we're about to explain. Rabbi Nizal, the next chapter, the next paragraph, is going to discuss the world of tzedakah, and what we're stepping into. This first paragraph introduced the concept of stepping into a new world and understanding two levels. Now we're going to discuss what the details of the mitzvah tzedakah, what it's intended to accomplish, and why what we said before is so important. Baruch Hashem. Tzedakah is at the point that person knows that that's his breaking point, where at that point it starts hurting him, it starts bothering him. And his normal nature at that point in time would be to complain or to insult the poor man or this or that. At that point in time when he gives, that's when he has entered into the Avodas HaTzedakah, and that's when he's opened up a new world for himself. He's made a beginning in the world of Tzedakah, as we're about to explain. Rabbi Nizal, the next chapter, the next paragraph, is going to discuss the world of Tzedakah, and what we're stepping into. This first paragraph introduced the concept of stepping into a new world and understanding two levels. Now we're going to discuss what the details of the mitzvah of Tzedakah, what it's intended to accomplish, and why what we said before is so important. Baruch Hashem.